welcome to this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Ruth Browning. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
So, Holy Households, this has been fun, hasn't it? I've enjoyed thinking and learning about this. We've looked at wisdom in our homes and hospitality and rest in our homes and all kinds of things. So, today we are going to Luke chapter 10 and we are going to actually see a home in the Bible and see what happened in this home, and let's see how it played out in this particular story as we look at how to have a holy household. So if we turn to Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, it says this: Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, and they came to a certain village, which was Bethany, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Praise the Lord. So that's the first point. We need to welcome Jesus into our homes. Don't we? Jesus and his disciples had left Jerusalem. They'd walked to the village of Bethany. Bethany is about 3 kilometres away from Jerusalem, so it's nice and close. And we don't know, but Martha seems to own this home, so it's possible that she was a widow, because women didn't usually independently own homes, so it's possible that she'd been married, she had this home, and she's obviously quite a generous woman, because it seems that she's living there with her brother and sister, who were possibly younger, possibly weren't married yet, but there's a little family there. There's no mention of mum and dad. So Martha's there with the brothers and sisters, and it's so good that she wants to welcome Jesus into her home. And so I want first to look at commending Martha for that attitude of come on in, and we need to have that attitude. And hopefully we all have that sense of welcoming Jesus into our home, not just our hearts and our lives, but into our home. You know, when we move into a new home, do we get someone to pray over the home? Do we anoint it with oil? I tell you right now, every time we have anyone of Asian descent in this church, Indian, Asians, every time they get a new home, they get us to pray. They go, say, you must come, Pastor, please come and pray. And we pray and we get us to anoint it. They've even asked us to pray over cars. White people, you guys, most of you, never. I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying it's just a curious little thing that we've noticed in the church that I don't know if that's what they do over there in their countries, but we like it. We don't say you have to do that or anything, but that's just what always happens. One Asian couple who aren't with us anymore, they went so far as to ask us to name their firstborn child, and we were like, are you sure? Like, okay. And they were like, yes, please, Pastor. And we were like, wow. No, we didn't call him Christopher, but I do remember really praying about that. It was quite a big responsibility to name a person's child, but they were insistent, so we did. I can't remember what do we call it. Was it John? I think it was John. John, yeah. It was a good name. Anyway, so we welcome him into our home. Let's know and let's be aware that Jesus is in our home. Like when we've asked him into our home, sometimes actually, say, come, Jesus, come in. I want you to be here with us in our home. Let's be aware of his presence in our home. You know, we recently, as you know, we had Onky and Shelley staying with us, this lovely couple from Indonesia. And they stayed with us the entire time. They were here for a couple of weeks. And it's a very different dynamic having someone living in your home, isn't it? And, you know, you're very aware that someone's in your home. And, look, I'm going to let you know that my home was actually better than normal. It was just that little bit tidier. I found that I just didn't tend to leave the kitchen mess at night. I thought, I better do it, and partly because Shelley was so helpful, to be honest. She was always helping, so then I felt I better help too. So the kitchen was always immaculate. I was zhuzhing up the bathroom. You know, you just kind of, you know what I mean? I mean, Chris and I, we don't normally fight anyway, but we certainly didn't fight then. You know, we're very, It's very nice to each other, you know. Because you're sort of conscious, you know. You've got this couple, they're kind of watching us, you know. She's very respectful. She calls me mama, you know. And so I'm like, okay, mama, I better be a good mama, you know. So you're conscious when you have someone in your home and I think you step it up a little bit. And I think, wow, you know, Jesus is in our home. Jesus, is he enjoying our home? Does he feel welcome in our home? And when we do the things that we do in our home, let's not just do it because it needs to be done, but let's do it for the glory of God. Like, because we want Jesus to see the kitchen looks nice, you know? We want Jesus to enjoy watching TV with us rather than going, I'm not watching this. So you know what I'm saying? Like, let's enjoy having Jesus in our home. And in fact, John 11 verse 5 says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. And he loved going to their home. He went regularly. So that's the first good thing, is that he loved to go to their home and he was welcome in their home, and we must have the same thing. And of course, straight on from that is just the hospitality. We've spoken about this a little bit, but the fact that she welcomed him into her home. Now, it wasn't just Jesus. Jesus traveled. It says Jesus and his disciples. Now, we know there was at least 12 of them, but probably more. Some people said up to 100. He was often followed by a crowd. But many people say, look, it would have been perhaps 16 to 20 people for lunch. So, I mean, I regularly feed 12 adults and 6 children. So I'm telling you, that's a lot of work. So, you know, that's a lot of work for her to feed all those people. And it's expensive. You know, you've got to really put the effort in if you're going to feed all those people. So that's another great thing, that Martha had this attitude of wanting to feed Jesus and his disciples, wanting them to have a place where they could go to feel relaxed, to be blessed. And we have spoken about that, but that's another great lesson that we learn from Martha in particular, just to have that attitude. Let's all have that attitude. You know, it's a qualification for ministry. Like, I don't, the Bible literally says, you know, oh, good, yeah, great. Chris, go to Bible college, learn that, you know, train up. Oh, and be hospitable, have people over for meals. Isn't that interesting? It's an actual qualification to be a pastor as far as God's concerned, and a deacon for that matter. And you see that in a couple of scriptures. A church leader must be hospitable. So let's again learn from that. Hebrews 13:2 is great. Do not forget to entertain strangers. So not just our best buddies and the family or someone we're hoping to get an invite back from, but strangers, you know, some new person, maybe someone new at church. Entertain them. Have them over. Have them over for a meal, because some have unwittingly entertained angels. I'm like, that's quite an interesting scripture, isn't it? Imagine some new guy came to church. He said, I really like this guy. He's really nice. And he comes and you have a meal. And then you get to heaven. He goes, yeah, I was an angel. It's like, what? I thought the conversation was pretty cool. Like, what? That's amazing. And he's using that as an encouragement for us to invite people over. He's saying, you never know. It might be an angel. Maybe after you've had a meal with him, you go, I don't think that was an angel. But you know, isn't that an interesting concept? Just to, so, you know, I feel like let's be encouraged by that. Let's all right now think, who am I inviting over next? Who's coming up? What's the next event in my home? Let's just constantly be inviting over. Let's keep it simple. Anything anyone cooks is a blessing. I mean, Luke and Shelley had me over for a meal the other day in their new home. Shelley cooked a lasagna. I mean, I just loved it. To sit down and be blessed and the food's done. What a blessing. So let's just plan that and invite someone. Invite someone who looks lonely or a stranger or whatever. Let's be hospitable. So we've talked about that a little bit already in this series, but it just comes through very strongly there with Martha, that she was very hospitable. And then as we go on in the story, Luke 10:39, it says that Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Jesus arrived in the home and he just starts to preach. So here is another wonderful concept that we learn from this scripture, is to just have spiritual events in our homes. You know, Jesus didn't just save his preaching for you know, well, no, well, I'm relaxing now, I'm just eating. He was always open to preaching, and they were open to having it in their home. It's like, yeah, Jesus is here, what's he got to say? You know, he didn't just save it up for the Sunday. He's just ready to preach. And I just think, come on, we've got to have that attitude. We're just always wanting to have spiritual events. Our homes are not just places to eat and sleep and watch TV. We should be, you know, having Bible studies. Like, open the Bible. I love a home where the Bible is opened after a meal. Open the Bible. Have family prayer times. Where, you know, when does the family get together and pray? It's great to have spiritual events. Obviously, it's great to have connect groups. It's great to have hospitality, have people over, but make them spiritual. Make our homes a center of Jesus' word. It's so exciting. I hope that our children and grandchildren see us praying. You know, when my grandchildren come over, I've got a little prayer mat, and I say, come and pray. And because it's hard to pray when they're there, I say, come and pray with me. Come pray with me. We get on our knees and we all pray together. It's so cute. I look at the Lord, it's like, it's quick. And he's like, he loves it, you know. He loves to see them. And then I've seen them do it. I've seen them in their own home get a little prayer mat. Like, I only do it because my knees are getting old, but they get a prayer mat because, you know, they think it's what you do. So they get, actually Frosty gave it to me. It was like a spongy one. It's really good if you need a little extra prayer. So they get their little, and I saw them like this. They were teaching each other how to pray. I'm like, oh, so precious. So let's do that. Let's have spiritual events in our home. Let's be praying. Let's be reading the Bible. Let's be gathering together. When we were in Russia, in the evenings, because at that time the TV was hopeless, no one watched TV. So in the evenings they'd come in and we'd all start singing, you know, songs, worship songs, just singing worship songs. That's what we did in the evenings. It was wonderful. And then I remember sometimes when I visited at other times, you know, there'd be a knock on the door, like 10 o'clock at night. And someone would say, oh, yes, and they'd be talking that. And then they'd come over and they'd say, oh, so-and-so's come to visit. They want you to prophesy over them. I'm like, okay. It was very random. It was a little tiring at times. But, you know, I mean, that's cool. I love that. And I think all of our homes can be like that if we have that sense that our homes are not just for living in, but they're for ministry. They're ministry centres. And how are we going to make that happen? In Ephesians 5:18, it says, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. So first of all, that scripture, obviously, you know, our home should not be a place where we drink too much. That's just a shocker to go home and overdrink. Be very careful with alcohol because it does grab you, it can grab you. It's not good. But it's interesting. It says, no, don't do that. But instead, it's almost like, well, we can relax with food and drink, or we can get into the Word of God and be filled with the Spirit and in our homes. This is talking about not just at church. I mean, I don't know if we've ever seen anyone drunk in church, but at homes, don't go to that place. Go to a place, a spiritual place, and literally talk to each other. It says with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. We need to go to that place of talking. What are you reading in the Bible? Let's talk about God, and not just sort of about life, but actually go there. I know Byron's cute like this when people ride in the truck with him, and to Lake Cajelago, and anyway, he just sits there. He's driving away, saying nothing, and then all of a sudden he just starts preaching. Who's experienced Byron just preaching at them? Yeah, look at that. Look at all these people. He's just in the car and for just randomly, he just goes, yeah, the Bible says, da-da-da-da. And what you've got to realise is you go, hang on, is this what you preach? Yeah, oh, he's preaching. Like, you know, he just starts. It's really cool. But we need to be like that. Just go there. Just go there. Why not? It literally says to do that, to speak to one another with psalms and hymns. And yet, we've got to do it. So let's just be bold and do it. Go for it. So, spiritual events in our home. Find the time to listen. Now, again, Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his word. We're in the home. We've got a lot of guests. We've got a lot of things happening. We're busy. We've got to get the washing out. We've got to get this done. We've got to cook for the kids. We've got to get them ready for school. We've got to get packed for work tomorrow. We've got to practice for this. We've got a lot of things to do, but we need to find that time to just sit and listen and sit and be with Jesus. sit and do things with him. I heard on a podcast the other day, Gwyneth Paltrow was being interviewed, you know, the movie star. And they said, what do you do in the morning? Tell us your mornings. So she did. She says, well, you know, she's got that nice voice. I wake up and I wash my face and then I scrub my tongue and then I have a quiet coffee. And then I exercise for 1 hour. I'm like, every day? No wonder these guys are so skinny, like every morning. Like, okay, so every day she washes, she does that. And then she does some emails. And then, you know, after a while she's ready for the day. And I thought, and I've often heard people talk about their mornings, you know, they do a bit of yoga, a bit of exercise, a bit of coffee, a bit of this and that. But I hope that our mornings are, I get up and I read the Bible and I pray. And I never exercise in the morning because I don't have time. By the time I finish reading the Bible and praying, I need to get on with life. So, you know, you sometimes have to put some things aside if you're going to, you know, spend time with Jesus. But that's our morning routine. We need to find that time. That's my morning routine anyway. But we need to find when we pray and when it's the right time. And it's not always easy. It's not as if everything's done, so now I can pray. That was the point. There was a lot going on, but Mary's just, I'm just going to do it now. And I think that's the way it has to be, because we'll never get to a stage where our homes are totally ready to pray and read the Bible. They're completely tidy, the meals are clean and cooked, everything's done, the shopping, it's never going to happen. So we just have to go, no, I'm going to do it now. And I think often the Holy Spirit says, why don't you go now? I really do believe that there is a moment. I know if you've got very little kids, it's hard, but you just pray with them, grabbing your legs, basically. You know, you pray like this. But there's always a time, because God so wants to be with us. We need to find that time in the midst of life. So we find time to listen in our home, in the midst of it all. We find time to be with Jesus. Luke 10:40, we're just moving through the story here. Martha was distracted with all the preparations that had to be made. So she is running around. The word there can mean pulled away or dragged around or too busy. She is running around, busy, 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 to the point where she's being pulled away. She's not listening to Jesus. She's just really busy getting everything done and no doubt feeling that this is a very urgent thing to do. Like, what, are they all going to go hungry? What am I supposed to just... I've got 16 people, they all need lunch. Do I just not feed them? So sometimes what is important or urgent can take the place of what we must do, which is spend time with Jesus. Because it's not like she was doing something wrong. She had a legitimate concern, a legitimate business to be doing. But it can pull us away from God. We've got to be really conscious of this. Is my actual job, my work, is it pulling me away from spending time with Jesus? Because if it is, it's wrong. Matthew Henry says, worldly business can be a snare to us when it hinders us from serving God and waiting on him to get food for our souls. So, you know, if we're allowing ourselves to be distracted and pulled away from Jesus because of all that we're doing, and something's out of whack, it's not right. It's not right. We've got to figure out what do I do? What do I do? She's also anxious. Later on, Jesus said, you're troubled and anxious. So she's anxious about this. And that's an interesting thought too. What was she actually anxious about? Was she anxious they weren't going to eat? Or was she anxious that she wasn't going to make a good impression? Like, we doesn't say exactly, but perhaps she was anxious that everything wasn't going to be just right or just perfect, or she wasn't going to, you know, if it's a working situation, I'm not going to earn enough money to just... There was a lot of anxiety there. And another guy called John Bloom says, when we feel compelled to serve out of a self-conscious anxiety over what others think, it's likely we are serving our own glory and not Jesus' glory. Who are you really serving? So there's another interesting concept, isn't it? What was she getting anxious about? That there wouldn't be enough, or that it wouldn't look good? We need to think about that too. Why are we doing what we're doing? Because Jesus wants us to be with him. and we're running around doing this other thing. So then what happens is, then she's starting to get angry with Mary. And we can see this because she talks to Jesus about him. And this, her busyness, her anxiety and her worry leads to strife. And I want to talk a little bit about strife in the home, arguing, fighting, conflict. Because all that we've been saying about a holy household is very good and wonderful to have a home that's beautiful, home that's welcoming, a home that looks nice and all of that. And then you can ruin it by ugly words and fighting and strife. It can completely destroy our homes. And we can fight over a million different things. There's so many, every couple has their own special fights, I guess. Every brother and sister, or little kids, it's constant. They're constantly fighting. So as adults, the idea is that we have learned to either not fight or to learn to deal with our conflicts wisely so that our children learn to do that. So we're constantly teaching them how to not fight. I remember as a child, I used to get very annoyed. We all used to get annoyed about the washing up. There was a lot of washing up, and it was very annoying because we just felt like, you know, it wasn't fair. I just remember this sense of unfairness, you know, that my little sister, she was always too little. It didn't matter how old she was. Mum, she's only little. She doesn't have to do it. I was like, ugh. She's like 10. I was doing it when I was 10, you know, like that really bothered me. And then I had one brother who would just sort of like polish a corner of something like forever. I'm like, Hunter, like do something else. Like that, it's done. Like just, you know, I didn't feel like he was actually getting into the meat of the actual work. Do you know what I mean? And so I remember that Dad organized a tally system. And we had like he stuck some paper on the wall. And every time you did 5 minutes of washing up, you'd put down a tally. So you could count, you know, and then you could see how much work you'd been doing and we could even it out. So Dad could say, well, it looks like Ruth's been doing more work than Mark, so you should do it. But then everybody found ways to, like, you'd see Hunter, I don't know, he'd see, all of a sudden he had like this massive tally. I'm like, what, you didn't do that much work? Come on, what's that all about? And he goes, no, I did, because, you know, you'd be polishing something, like, you know, spending hours doing something you wanted. So honestly, like, you get all annoyed and angry with each other. It's like, then you finally realize it doesn't matter. Just do a bit more washing up than your brother. Like, it took me a long time to figure that out, but we got there in the end. But, you know, there's always something, isn't there? I was saying to the kids, what did you used to fight about? And they're like, one of them said, oh, I always used to copy her. It really annoyed her. And then another one, oh, Monopoly. We used to fight over Monopoly. You're like, whatever. There's strife. Look what the Bible says. Proverbs 17:14. Starting a quarrel is like opening a floodgate, which, as we know at the moment, is not good. So stop before a dispute breaks out. Stop it. Just stop. Go, let's not fight about this. James 1:19, let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Slow, slow, slow. We've just got to learn to hold it in, those angry words, that little, well, you know, I would if you, or did you not, oh, you didn't do, oh, okay, great. Like, we've just got to learn, those ugly words are not helpful. We have to learn to hold them in. There's a lot of sarcasm and nastiness. You know, you visit people and they're, well, you know, thanks. It's like, oh, wow, brutal. We don't need to speak to one another like that. We need to learn to speak words that are loving. A quick tongue is unreliable. A quick tongue is very unreliable. Don't quickly respond. Learn to hold those words in and allow the Holy Spirit to just speak to you. And he often does. Like, don't say that. That's not kind. I remember I went through a phase with Chris a long time ago where every time I was annoyed with him, I say a long time ago because I don't get annoyed with him now because he's so easy. Every time I felt annoyed with him, instead of saying the thing that annoyed me, I said the opposite. It was a really cool little thing. So, you know, if something was bothering me, like let's say he was driving too fast or something, I'd say, you're such a good driver, babe. I really appreciate it. And he'd go, oh, thanks, you know. And every time, and I'm like, I thought this is working really well because he would be so encouraged and so nice. He would sort of do what I wanted anyway, rather than saying the opposite. It works, I'm telling you. Every time, except then the other person was saying, do you mean the opposite? Is that? No. So anyway, so the point is that a lack of seeking God leads to conflict. A lack of allowing the Holy Spirit to control your tongue will lead to conflict, and a lack of seeking God will lead to conflict. When we spend time with Jesus, we get really sweet and gracious, and we accept each other. But when we don't, we can get irritated. And that's what was happening to Martha. She's working hard, maybe too hard, and she's getting annoyed. So she goes to Jesus, because that's what you do sometimes, isn't it? You just have a whinge to whoever you can. And she says in Luke 10:40, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me." So here it is right here. You can sense the irritation. Did she go to Mary? There's no record of her actually going up to Mary. And I don't know, did she just interrupt Jesus' teaching? Did she just go, I don't care what everyone thinks, Jesus? And Mary's like, oh, here we go. imagine Mary's like, oh, she's just hanging there listening to Jesus. And so I don't know if Mary just, if Martha interrupted everyone, she didn't care anymore. It's like, can you do something about this? Has anyone ever prayed like that? Father God, can you do something about this, please? Because I have to put up with it. And can you change, please, whoever it is? And then Jesus does, and God does what he classically does, which is not say, sure, they're bad. They need to change. He goes, and what about you? That always happens, always. So here's Martha getting annoyed. Here's Mary listening. We're in the home. Martha's saying, come on, Jesus, do something about her. She's not helping. It's not fair. And what does Jesus say? Luke 10:41. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So there it is. Martha was so distracted serving Jesus, doing good things, not bad things. It's not like she's sinning, but she's so distracted from serving Jesus that she's not seeking Jesus. She's not waiting on Jesus. She's not being like Jesus. And she's getting anxious. So you notice that Jesus isn't rebuking what she's doing, but he's rebuking the way she's doing it. Her attitude was wrong. And that's so often the way it is with what we're doing in life. We're doing good things. We're raising kids. We're working hard. But God wants us to get it right. He wants us to put the one thing, the main thing, as the main thing, which is seeking Jesus and knowing him. That's the main thing. And when we get that right, then we'll get our service right. We'll get our job right. We'll get the balance of life right. But if we don't get that right, things will fall out of whack. Our marriages will fall out of whack. Our relationships will fall out of whack. We'll be unhappy. We won't have that lovely peace. One thing, Jesus said, one thing is needed. That one thing is him. He's the one thing. To know him, to seek him, to wait on him. He's the one thing. David said it beautifully in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Because in David's time, the temple was where the presence of God was. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David was a king. He was fairly busy as well. He had a lot going on, wars, you know, a lot of stuff. But he said, no, there's one thing that I really want, and that is his presence. And that's what Jesus is saying. In the midst of our homes, we've got to make sure that Jesus is welcome, that he is the main thing in our home, because then our homes will be holy. They will be beautiful. But without Jesus, they can be neat, they can be tidy, they can be rich, we can earn good money, but they'll never be holy. And they'll never have that beautiful shalom, that peace and blessing that God wants in our homes. He really wants that. He really does. So that's the main message today. Welcome Jesus and have one thing. But I'd just like to finish off, because I didn't sort of really notice this until I started getting into the study, that, of course, the story of Martha and Mary doesn't finish there. In John chapter 11, Lazarus died. Now, I can't go into that whole story. And Martha and Mary were, you know, Jesus, quickly come. And he did come, and we know the story that he raised Lazarus from the dead. So that's good. That when Jesus is the center of our world, he's also there when we need him in emergencies, in the the terrible times. He was there for them. He came to their home. He knew the way. He knew the way to their home because he loved going to them. So that's one great thing, that when Jesus is that main center of our world, Jesus is also going to be there, and we will know how to call him when we need him. So that's exciting. And then in John 12, we see again another meal at Martha's home, another dinner, 6 days before Passover. Look at this, John 12, 1 to 3. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom he had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. He's the new hero of the moment, or the star, having been raised from the dead. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. I love this, because there it is again. Martha's doing all the work. She's still serving. She's still doing it. And I really appreciate this, because I think that now Martha understands we're all different. You know, sometimes one of us is just better at cooking or working or serving than another one. And now, instead of getting annoyed about it, she's like, yeah, I'm working again. And there's Mary, still not, I don't know whether it was right or wrong, but Mary's not doing anything. She's never recorded as doing anything except sort of just loving on Jesus and weeping and doing all this stuff. And there she is doing what she does. She's doing what she does. Lazarus is having a good time and Martha is working again. But the difference is something's different. She's not rebuked this time. She's not getting annoyed this time. She's happy to serve in her gifting and accepting her role, but obviously she's found that place of balance, of grace and seeking Jesus when she needed him. She was the first one to run out to Jesus when he came for Lazarus, seeking him, knowing him, but still working hard, still serving, still being busy, but doing it with a great attitude, a great heart, and finding that lovely balance between seeking Jesus and serving Jesus. She's found the balance. And everyone is blessed because Mary is pouring this beautiful perfume all over Jesus, and the whole house is filled with this sweet fragrance, the whole house, which is the love of Jesus. You know, this fragrance represents this love. It was a lavish demonstration of love. They reckon it was probably a year's wages, which is a lot. And it was a lavish demonstration of love that this home was able to pour out to Jesus. And it maybe wouldn't have happened if Martha had said, Mary, no way. You're coming to do this now. She was just like, let's just do it. So Martha got blessed as well. They're all filling their roles. Jesus was there again, and Mary is able to release this beautiful anointing in the home. It just works. So let's be like that. Let's have a home that welcomes Jesus, a home where we learn to say no to strife and anger, and a home where there is a fragrance of the love of Christ because we are loving one another, because we've welcomed Jesus, and we're growing. I love that Martha grew. She changed from one scripture to the next. That's always wonderful. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's pray together. Father, we just commit our homes into your hands. We just see the place where we live right now, and we invite you into our home, and we pray that our homes would be a place of anointing, of the fragrance of love for you. We welcome you. I want you all to imagine your home, and I want you to open that front door and imagine Jesus is welcome into your home and invite people in. It will change their lives. It will change their lives. People will come into your home and just go, I don't know what it is about this place. I don't know what it is. It's like, yeah, because there's Jesus, there's another guest, and he will impact people's worlds when you invite them into your homes. And I feel like the Lord's saying that your homes can often be an entryway into the very kingdom of heaven. People will come into your home that won't come to church. Father God, I just thank you for all these beautiful homes in our church. And I pray, Father God, that they would be holy, calm, peaceful, anointed, loving places. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.